take a piece of paper or a tithe envelope and turn to two other passages of Scripture while you hold this one here. One is Acts 7. Just stick something in Acts 7 so that you can quickly turn to Acts 7. And then the other will be Hebrews 11. There are three passages of Scripture that speak on the subject that we will be covering this morning, and we will be referring to all three of these passages, although the one that Bill just read will be our main portion of Scripture. As we continue the story of the Exodus, God's work, His plan to redeem His people, Acts 7 and Hebrews 11. These verses in Exodus chapter 2 record Moses' attempt to achieve God's will his own way. And the result, of course, was a murdered Egyptian and a misunderstood and fearful Moses. Rather than delivering the children of Israel as it had been his desires, he found himself sitting by a well in the land of Midian. And there, sitting at this well, the barren wilderness around him, he's shaken, he's confused. He's experiencing feelings of embarrassment, feelings of unworthiness, questioning in his mind whether God would ever be able to use him in a significant way. Moses, for some 40 years, had lived in the palace, had experienced all the benefits of palace living, as well as the education, the finest academic training in the universities of Egypt. Academic training that was fitting him to reach the highest pinnacle of human achievement. But now he's alone in the desert. The personification of failure. And those people that he yearned for deliverance still waited and pressed down with the burdens that pressed their soul as well as their bodies. Still being beaten by their enemies, their cry of oppression that we studied about last Sabbath, their cry of oppression still going up to God, God still seeming silent, God still seeming distant and uninvolved. It's a story of confusion and failure, a story of fright and fear and delay in God's purposes to redeem His people. The story has realism to it. Enough realism for us to be able to step into the story and see a bit of ourselves, and it's been written with enough sensitivity to make the lessons bear enough for us to grasp this morning. It was blood ties. It was blood ties that caused Moses to leave the palaces, to leave the courtyards, and to go to the fields, the brick fields, and to the places where the children of Israel were being used as servants, as slaves. You read it there in verse 11. It says, "Now it came about in those days, when Moses had grown up, that he went out to" who? His brethren. Blood ties. These were his brethren that were beckoning him out to see. And he went out to see them. He went out to feel them, to sense what was going on in their lives. And the Bible tells us here that he looked on their hard labors. If you read this in the Hebrew, the impression is more than just seeing physically with the eye what is taking place. Moses was seeing more than the whip and the rod of the taskmaster breaking the backs of the children of Israel, more than the bondage. The Hebrew means to see or to watch with emotion. And I watched with emotion just this past week. I stood and watched individuals that I loved very much, sorrowing over the loss of someone that we both shared in love. As we drove along in the car, my ears were tuned in to the things that they talked about among themselves as a family. The little vignettes from Stu's life that were meaningful to him and to me. And as we stood around the gravesite, their grieving process touched my heart very much. I was tied to them, and I watched their experience with emotion. And this is what we find happening with the life of Moses. The sufferings and the oppression of the children of Israel were felt as if they were his own, because they were his own people. The spirit of prophecy tells us that he often left the courts to go out into the fields and to observe the oppression of his people. He often spoke words of encouragement that a deliverer soon would come. He was stung by the injustice, the burdens, the oppression, and he burned within himself for deliverance of his people. Look with me here in Acts 7, verse 25. The Bible gives the impression that Moses understood that he was to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. Here in verse 25 of Acts 7, it says, "And he," referring to Moses, "supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand." This seems to imply that Moses had it pretty clear in his mind that in the position that he was in and the things that had been communicated to him, that he should be the deliverer, that he would be the deliverer. In fact, patriarchs and prophets tell us that angels of God came to Moses and communicated to Moses that God was going to deliver the children of Israel through his hand. Those same angels, spirit of prophecy tells us, went to the elders of Israel and communicated to the elders of Israel that Moses would be the one who would deliver them, and deliverance would be near at hand, or was near at hand. My mind struggles with why the Bible says that they didn't understand here in Acts 7. And perhaps it was the way that Moses initially went around about delivering his people that caused them to misunderstand. But the fact is that Moses, it was clear in Moses' mind what God's will was in terms of him delivering the children of Israel. And the spirit of prophecy and tradition, some of the ancient Bible writers refer to Moses as being well-loved by the armies of Egypt. And he led the armies of Egypt in battle, and victory after victory after victory. And we are told as he returned from those victories, he constantly remembered his own people in oppression, and he remembered that God was going to use him to deliver those very people. And then our passage back here in Exodus tells us in verse 11, Exodus 2:11, "Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up." There seems to be a focal point in all three of the passages that refer to Moses' life. There seems to be a focal point that centers around his growing up or coming to years. He was now 40 years old, according to Acts. And the Bible is focusing the attention on the fact that what is taking place in Moses' life at this occasion is not the experience of a youth making decisions and moving forward, but it's the decisions of settled maturity and adulthood. And Hebrews gives us some insights into this growing up experience, or this point in Moses' life when indeed now he had grown up. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he had" what? When he had come to years, or when he had grown up, says the New American Standard Bible. "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Hebrews implies conscious, adult, mature decisions on the part of Moses to identify with the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham. Verbs come to mind, important words come to mind. He refused. He chose. He esteemed. In his youth, we understand his mother impregnated in his mind very much the promises of God, the plan of God. Our passage here in Hebrews tells us that he looked to the reward, which means Moses came to understand that there was going to be a final glory, a final reward for the people of God. And as he weighed the final glory, the final joy of the redeemed host in eternity, with the experience here on earth, he began making some choices, and those choices were to separate from Pharaoh, to separate from what this world had to offer, and his mind moved from the gorgeous palace to from the sumptuous food to the power and the prestige and the wealth of royalty. His mind moved to the crown of life that the King of Kings would place upon the obedient ones and the ones who love the God of heaven. And we find Moses consciously shifting his eyes from the lordly ones of earth to the poor and the downtrodden, the oppressed people who he came to understand as being the people of God, and seeking to identify with them and their lots. This was by faith. We take the time to grasp the picture that Scripture paints about Moses so that we can understand that Moses was a man who was committed to do the will of God. The will of God was clear and ringing in Moses' ear. He could see it. He could feel it. God wanted him to identify with that downtrodden people that were his own kin, because those were the people of God. And God wanted him to be involved in the delivering process. And God wanted him to accept the spiritual realities of eternity, of right and wrong, of redemption through blood, through the Messiah. And Scripture points to us that Moses accepted, Moses understood, Moses believed, Moses was committed to doing God's will. But this was also a point in Moses' life. Turning back here to Exodus chapter 2, this was a point in Moses' life when he was accustomed to doing his own ways, having his own ideas. He was a strong man. And this emphasis on him coming to years or his growing up, yes, has some insights from a spiritual perspective, but we must understand that also it means in terms of his maturing, in terms of him being a young man with vigor and intellect, and reaching the pinnacle of where he could be at that point in his life. He was accustomed to doing things in his own strength. And the slaying of the Egyptian, that was not an act of faith. It was human action from beginning to end. You see, Moses was reared in the courts of the Egyptian kingdom. And he was accustomed to power, he was accustomed to intellect, he was accustomed to moving and doing. In fact, Acts 7 tells us in verse 22, Acts 7 verse 22, tells us that Moses was trained in all the learning of Egypt, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. And so Moses was accustomed to relying on his own strength, his own resources, his own wisdom, his own insights, his own position, his own responsibilities. And now here he is at the age of 40, making decisions for the God of the heavens, making decisions for a people that belong to the God of heavens. And if it was time for deliverance, there would never be a better time than now, when he had all that he had to give God and his people. So we find Moses running ahead of God. We find Moses attempting to accomplish God's will in his own strength and his own way. He fell into the error that his forefathers had fallen into, of trying to achieve God's purposes our own way, trying to fulfill the promises of God in our own strength. His father, Abraham being promised a child, Abraham probably returning to the tent with his wife to produce that child. Finding that not working, and Abraham spending time with Sarah's maid in order to produce a child. And Jacob being told from the very beginning of his years that he would be the one to inherit the birthright. He would be the one to carry the spiritual banner, and through him the seed of the Messiah would come. But deceiving his father in the tent, stealing the birthright from his brother Esau. And so we find ourselves at a recurring theme in the Exodus story. A recurring theme of the Bible. How people who are clear in their minds as to what God's will is, people who are committed to doing God's will, people who have accepted God's way as a way of life, turning to themselves and depending on themselves for the fulfillment of those promises, the fulfillment of that way of life. Moses was a man of faith. We've read it in Hebrews. But yet he wasn't. Because the contrasting stories in Scripture tell us something about the growth of faith in one's life. Through faith, Moses grasped the larger picture of what God would want him to be and do. He grasped the eschatological, the last day picture of the redeemed in the courts of heaven. By faith, he was able to see it. By faith, he was able to grasp it as real. And by faith, he accepted it into his own life. By faith, he came to understand that this despised, beaten down race were the people of God. And that faith led Moses to commit himself to the lot of his people, and to the fulfillment of God's will in his life. But yet when it came down to the actual carrying out of that large picture, he went ahead on his own strength and energy. And in the growth and the struggle of faith in our lives, we're able often to grasp the big picture that God wants us to be an Adventist Christian, or that last day events will include various truths, that God wants us to live healthfully, that God would want us to relate in our homes certain ways. God's will is clearly discernible to His people in many respects, the large pictures. And by faith we grasp those large pictures. But where we have a struggle is when the details of faith work down in the nitty-gritty of life and the little decisions of life. And those little decisions of life are the decisions that we so often pick up and we begin working and doing with our own strength and our own resources. We learn from the story of the Exodus that we tend to trust in our committees. We tend to trust in our education, our influence, our political maneuvering in the background. We tend to trust the financial strength that we have. We tend to trust our own resolve and commitment. And when the cry of oppression is voiced in our own lips, as we studied last Sabbath, the points of pain, our own harsh treatment, our own hard times, our own heavy tests, when we're experiencing them and we're under the pressure of an experience that we don't feel too good about and we want deliverance from, we're inclined to sort through life in our own strength and our own wisdom and in our own ways. When God seems silent, when God seems distant and uninvolved in our lives, we begin to get involved ourselves. And it shows up in the way that we try to get decisions for Bible studies. You know, we depend on techniques rather than prayer. And when it comes to change in the church, we depend on political maneuvering rather than pressing together and asking God to bring unity and direction to our hearts. And we could go on raising our children, finding a mate, correcting a brother in error in the church. Many practical ways in which our own human tendencies, our own human strength and wisdom gets caught up in the process of fulfilling what we understand to be God's will. But the story of Exodus is the story that when we venture out to achieve God's will in our own strength, we will find ourselves sitting at a well in the desert. Confusion and failure. The cries of our oppression still ascending to God. God still seeming distant and uninvolved in our lives. In verse 12, Moses sees the Egyptian beating this Hebrew. And in verse 12 it says, "So he looked this way, and he looked that way." May I suggest that Moses looked every way but up? He didn't look to the Father in heaven. He had been trained to use his mind. He had been trained to use his resources. He had been trained to use his influence. And he was not accustomed to looking outside himself for that strength to accomplish the everyday things of life. And though he had had the big picture straight in his mind, the little pictures needed to be worked out. But it was not God's intent that the children of Israel should be delivered by Moses' strength and Moses' power. Look with me in verse 8 of chapter 3. This is Moses, God speaking to Moses. Says, "So I have come down. I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians." Can you say amen to that? What a picture of God. God telling Moses, "I've come down. I'm not caught in the courts of heaven. I'm not nailed down up there. I have come down. I have come down to be with you in your pain and in your suffering and in your trial and in your pressures, and I have come down to deliver." What a picture of God. And God is pressing into Moses' heart that he is there. I invite you to turn with me to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 6. God speaking to Moses, he says, "Say therefore to the sons of Israel," and I want you to catch the point of these next two verses, three verses. "Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for the possession. I am the Lord." God is saying, "Moses, I'm going to be the one who does it. Not you. No one else." The message of the book of Exodus is that God, and only God, will bring deliverance to His people. That God and only God will sort out the points of pain the harsh times, the hard treatment, the heavy tests, and ultimate redemption. I will do it, God says. Moses sitting there by that well in Midian was struggling with the question, the issue of dependence. He had not really been depending on God. Like Gideon's host, he was too strong for God. Do you remember the story of Gideon, how there were so many of them and God whittled them down? God couldn't do what he wanted to do until Gideon was small enough. Moses had been too big for God. God wants dependent people. The power of God is available only to dependent people. Moses understood, became to understand, and as we look at this passage, in a sense, Moses was out of touch with God. He was committed to a people, he was committed to a task, he was committed to a truth and a vision. But his heart wasn't truly committed to God himself. We find him alone in the desert. And in the course of 40 years, becoming nothing in his own eyes. That the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would be all and all in his eyes. God is seeking total surrender from his people if he is ever to bring change and renewal and deliverance in their lives. God is beckoning us to surrender to him, to submit ourselves to his plan, to his timing, to his ways, to his strength. Moses prematurely ran ahead of God. And in the course he killed one Egyptian, but found himself confused and a failure in a desert. But when Moses was clearly caught up in the setting of God's will and God's purposes and God's power, all of Egypt was brought to her knees and there was triumph. And that's the message of Exodus. The message of Exodus being that when we try to achieve God's promises with our own strength, there will be confusion and failure. But when we surrender to God's will, and we are caught up in the focus of God's active grace, there will be deliverance. How is God speaking to your life today? How is His will clear to your mind? Have you committed yourself to do His will, to be His child? But how are you seeking to achieve God's will your own way?
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.